We read together tonight Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Text for the sermon tonight will be the last two verses of the psalm. The word of God at Psalm 139, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far we read the Word of God. Let's read together one more time those last two verses, the text for the sermon, where David says, inspired by the Spirit, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon this evening is a preparatory sermon as we anticipate coming together for the Lord's Supper next week, Sunday morning. Therefore, we read the form together a few minutes ago in which the Word of God is laid before us concerning what we are called to do. We are called to examine ourselves. We're called in the way of prayer, in the way of reading the Word of God, in the way of meditating upon that Word of God, to very carefully looking at ourselves, looking at our hearts, looking at our lives, in order to see the sin that clings to us, and in order to take that sin in sorrow for it to the cross of Calvary where there is forgiveness. We're called to examine ourselves so as to see for sure that we are not walking hardened and impenitent in sin and therefore are worthy partakers of communion next week, Sunday morning. The Word of God to us this evening takes that calling of self-examination one step further. Not just self-examination, but God examination. I suppose this is implied every time we examine ourselves, because ultimately it's the Word of God that does the work of examining our hearts. But in the end, we need to see this particular Word of God tonight, that at times, though we may try to examine ourselves, we are blind to the depth of the wickedness of our hearts. And we are blind at times to certain ways of sin. And we need, therefore, not just us working diligently to examine ourselves, but we need God to examine our hearts and to examine our thoughts and to examine the way in which we are walking. And that's what is laid before us this evening. This is David asking God very thoroughly to examine his life. And so we look at this using as our theme tonight, divine examination. The calling is self-examination in this week, but the way to do that for us in this week is to ask God to examine us. Divine examination. We notice in the first place the necessity of that. In the second place, we notice the searching. And then in the third place, we'll notice the fruit of God doing that. And that's the end of the passage, so that we are led in the way everlasting. Divine examination, the necessity, the searching, and then the fruit. In this passage, David is asking God to do something to him. He's asking God, as he says in the text, to search his heart, try his thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in him. Now David knows that this is something that he is called to do. He is called himself to search his heart, try his thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in him. But nevertheless, in the passage, he is asking God to do these things. And we need to see that there is a certain necessity in doing that for David and for you and me, that this is something that we need God to do for us and to us. 2 points with respect to the necessity of having God examine us. In the first place, we need God to do this because there are times in which we can be blind to sins of our hearts, blind to sins that we are walking in. Now, when it comes to sin in our lives, there are times, of course, where we know we are sinning. Very much we know that this activity or this heart thought or attitude is sinful. But we like it too much. We like this behavior that we are walking in. And even though I know it's wrong, because I like it too much, I'm going to continue to walk in it. There are times when the nature of our sin is that. There are also times when we can be blind to the very sins that we are walking in. And so we may do what we are called to do, examine ourselves, but because for whatever reason we have put the blinders on with respect to this particular area of my life, we don't see it for what it is. And therefore, we need God to do what David says in the text, search my heart, try my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me. We can be blind, for example, to certain addictions that we may have in our lives, blind to the fact that those addictions may be sinful, harmful, not being good stewards of the money that God has given us, not being good examples to the younger generation, but simply blinded to the reality that possibly the way in which I am walking is sinful. We can be blind, for example, to the way in which we deal with food. We have to eat every day. And so we may not think about this very often. Of course, I need to eat. If I don't eat, I'm going to die. But in my eating, am I abusing food? Am I not showing moderation? Am I fleeing to that food in times of stress? And without even understanding it, seeing that there is sin in that area of my life. We may be blind, for example, in the way that we are dressing. On Sunday morning, we're not waking up and we're saying, I want to bear a lot of skin when I go to church this morning. And I want to dress in a provocative way. I want to dress in a way that when the opposite sex looks at me, it more readily inclines sinful thoughts. We're probably not thinking that in the morning. But yet the reality, and it is a reality, that when you come to church, the manner of your dress is simply inappropriate, or blind as a husband, or blind as a father, looking at your family and not seeing it for what it is, which is sinful behavior. And so you can look at all kinds of areas of our lives. And there, I could go on and on with these types of examples. But you get the point that I'm making, that in certain areas of our lives, we may not see it for what it is. And therefore, we need not just ourselves, but we need God to do what David says in the text. Search me, O God. Try my thoughts and see if there is any wicked thing in me. Furthermore, it's not just outward behavior. That's the wicked way in me in verse 24. That's what David gets to in the psalm. That's more of what I am doing in the way that I am walking. But really the focus of the text is not on outward behavior. The focus of the text is on the heart. And that's the controlling thought at the beginning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And that especially is what David is concerned with. That he would not see in his own heart and in his own thoughts patterns of sinful behavior. And beloved, that is so true for you and for me in our lives, because it's not as tangible, it's not as evident outwardly that these are ways of sin. And so we can have, for example, a proud heart. We all need to fight pride. But we can have a proud heart, and that can be the dominating principle of our life. And we may not even see it. We may not even understand that in my heart, I always think that I'm better than someone over there. And I always think that I have the best way of doing something, and therefore looking down upon everybody else. And so we need God, search my heart. We may not see, for example, that I have in my heart a heart that's filled with anger and despising of others. So that I look around in the church and in the world and I'm always despising other people, despising my boss because he's above me, despising my colleague because I know that when it comes down to it, very simply, he has more gifts than me, despising that woman in the church because she looks a certain way or has certain things, despising a certain classmate at school because he or she is smarter, better looking, more athletic. And so you walk around and you live your life with a heart that is always looking down on others and despising other people. And therefore we need God to open that up to us and show us that sinful heart. Or we can have, for example, a heart that is always driven by being perceived a certain way. Hardly even realize it. But in reality, that's what's driving us in our life. When I look in front of the mirror before I go out, I need to look a certain way because I know that others are going to be looking at me, or I need to have a house that is put together just right. Can't have anything wrong with it. Can't be any imperfections, so that when others come, they see that and they think a certain way about me. And so we have this heart that is driven by a fear of men, controlled by men, instead of a fear of God. And we go on in that and we don't even understand that that's what's driving us in our lives. Beloved, I could go on and on and on, and I'm not going to, but you get the point. That in our lives, in my life too, there can be sins in our hearts, in our walk, that we very simply are blind to. And though we may examine ourselves, though we may read the Word of God, we're simply not going to see it as we are called to. And thus we need God to do this. Search my heart, try my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me. So that in the first place with respect to the necessity of this. In the second place, and these two points are very much related, this is really what stands behind the examples that I just gave a moment ago. But the necessity in the second place, very simply, is the fact that we have a nature that is utterly depraved and that still clings to us. We are not totally depraved anymore because we have the life of Christ in us, but that part of us that is still our flesh is altogether depraved and sinful. And that's very powerful. As Jeremiah, for example, says in chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And beloved, that still clings to us. Even though we are regenerated, that we have new life, a heart that is one that has the principle of the life of Christ in us, nevertheless, that nature clings to us. And so powerful is it yet in our lives that what I just described can certainly be true for us. That we don't see the sin that clings to us for what it is, namely sin. And so understand, beloved, the importance of this prayer of David in the text. Understand why this is so important that we say these words and truly ask God to do this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. So what it is that David is asking God to do? We look now at these main ideas, all governed by that first idea of searching. Before we look at what he asked specifically, notice a very important part of the text, and that is that it is intensely personal. Very clearly laid out in the words that he uses, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Intensely personal in his relationship with God. Self-examination. Self. There is a time and a place to examine others. But in this week of examination, and in this week as we ask God to do searching, beloved, it needs to be searching of me. In fact, this is one of the ways in which the heart shows itself to be so deceitful, as we just read in Jeremiah chapter 17. One of the ways that it can deceive us into not seeing the sin that clings to us is by always getting us to look at everybody else. If I can always examine everybody else, have my attention on other people in the church, the great end that that serves is not seeing me for who I am and the sin that clings so strongly to me. I'm not like that person. I'm not like that man who is known to everybody else in the church as being proud. Always right, always has the answer, always talking negatively about everybody else, always putting down everything that everybody else does. At least I'm not like him, who is known to be a very proud man in the church. Or as a woman in the church, you say to yourself, at least I'm not like that woman who is always gossiping, always talking, always meddling in everybody else's business. At least I'm not like that. At least I don't drink as much as that man that I know drinks a lot. Or at least I know I'm not partying like those kids are partying in my class. Whenever we focus on everyone else, the devil uses that, and our nature uses that in order to blind us to the sins that we know cling to us. And so we need to see and follow the very personal nature of what David is asking in the text. Don't search anyone else right now, God. It's not my focus right now. Search me and know my heart. That's the main idea expressed in the text. It's a searching of the heart. He mentions the heart as the spiritual center of who we are as men and women. The heart, Proverbs says, is the place out of which are the issues of life. All of the spiritual activity of our life finds its source in our hearts. And so by saying the heart first, he's going to the deepest part of our spiritual being. And David says with respect to that heart, search it. And the idea of that word search is examine thoroughly my heart. Do what the investigators of a crime scene do. They go to that crime scene and they tape it off and they go to work. It's not you go to the crime scene, gaze at it for a few minutes, take a couple of pictures, make a few notes, walk away and do whatever you want there. That's not what they do. They tape it off and they pick it apart. They're going to work hard to find whatever they can find at that crime scene. It's that idea with respect to our hearts. Tear it open, God. Take your scalpel and cut it open and dig into it as deep as you can. And reveal, therefore, through doing that, the sin that is present in my heart. And then he says in the text, try my thoughts. He goes from the heart to the thoughts. And the thoughts that we have are the things that flow out of the heart. We're always thinking. We're always thinking about other people. We're always thinking about our lives. We always have motives for what we are doing. We have a will with respect to whatever we are doing. And David says, try those thoughts. And the idea of try there is test them. Test them against the perfect standard of thy law and thy righteousness and who thou art, and see if the thoughts that I have measure up as they are called to measure up according to thy law. Is the way that I am thinking about my life as a father and in the church and thinking about other people and thinking about the elders and thinking about the minister and thinking about the deacons and thinking about the churches as a whole and thinking about everything that I face in my life. Try them. Are they proper? Are they righteous? Do they measure up and stand up against the perfect standard of the law? Our thoughts, which are so powerful in our lives, and how easily we can think sinful thoughts about each other, about our callings, about the church, about whatever it is that we face in our life. David says, try them. And then he gets at the beginning of verse 24 to our way, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And so he goes from the heart, that deepest source of our spiritual lives that produces thoughts, and inevitably leads to a certain way. The idea there is a road or a path, how we are walking and the direction that we are walking in our lives. See if there is any wicked way in me. Am I walking in any particular area of my life in an ungodly way? Put it all together, beloved, and you understand the idea. God, turn over every pebble that makes up my being. Turn over every stone and see it for what it is. And reveal, therefore, to me any sins that I may be blind to in my life. David asks God to do that because God alone is the one who is able to do that. And here we see the importance of the context of Psalm 139. Why is it that David says, to God, search me? He doesn't go to a fellow Israelite. In this week to come, we're not going first to somebody else in the church. We can use each other. Spouses use each other. Good friends use each other. Help me understand in my life where I am walking in sin. But in the end, they can't get to the heart. And that's the point. They can see something outward, but only God can get to the depth of our spiritual being, the heart and the thoughts. And that's why David asks God to do this in his life and not someone else. And that's the context of Psalm 139. This is a beautiful psalm that first and foremost teaches us about God. The entire psalm especially sets forth the truth that God is omnipresent and that God is omniscient. He knows everything. Notice that in verses 1 through 6, where David makes very clear the fact that God is the one who has complete knowledge of his life. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And then he gets to verses 7 through 12. And he talks about how he can't escape God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I go into heaven, thou art there. If I go into the depth of the grave, thou art there. He's omnipresent. Truth we all need to remember. That relates to self-examination too. He knows when we're walking by ourselves in sin. And then he gets to one of the reasons this is true, verses 13 through 16, where he talks about the fact that God has created us. It shouldn't surprise us that this is true of God with respect to our lives. He's the one who fearfully and wonderfully made us. If God made us, certainly He is the one who can see us and know us in the depth of our being. And so you understand when you look at the context of Psalm 139 why it is that God asks David to do this. Or why it is that David asks God to do this. Because He is, very simply, beloved, God, the great searcher and knower of our hearts. There is a purpose that David had in asking God to do this. It's terrifying, isn't it? If you really think about it, absolutely terrifying to ask God to do what David says in this psalm. Tear apart the depth of my heart. Try every single thought and see if it measures up to the perfect standard of thy law. Absolutely terrifying, because we know. We know exactly what it is that will be revealed as a result of this divine search and trying and seeing. And we know that what is seen deserves death, deserves punishment. deserves hell. It's terrifying if we don't do this out of faith. David makes this request in faith. He has a good purpose in making this request of God. No unbeliever says the words of this text. No unbeliever will go to God and say, "Search my heart and try my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me." Absolutely not. This is the confession and the prayer of one who has faith, of one who clings to the promise of God of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only reason that David would ever say the words of this text. For he knows that when the result of the divine searching comes back, which is sin, he has an altar. He has a promise of God that there is forgiveness for that sin. And so we do this with a purpose in mind. And the purpose is, as the text says, to lead us in the way everlasting. Understand that when David says, "Search my heart, try my thoughts, see if there is any way in me," the implication of that is that in some way that will be shown to him. Not just kept in the mind of God, but that in the way of God divinely searching him, these things will be revealed to him. And that's the importance of doing this right in connection with the Word of God and right in connection with our own self-examination. So that when we pray, "Search my heart," in the way of thinking that way and in the way of being right in there with the Word, we hope and pray that God in some way by His Spirit reveals to us what we need to see that we may have been blinded to in our lives. But that's the end. The end is that it would be shown to us to this end, that we may be led in the way everlasting. That way everlasting, beloved, is simply the way of life. It's the way that we walk in our lives in which we are in communion with God, the way in which we walk in our lives in which we have the hope not only of life now, but of life forever, the way everlasting. And there is a truth that is so profound that it is beyond our comprehension, that it is a way in which we will live with God forever in the new creation. We need to walk on that way, the way that has life now and forever. And that way, very simply, is the way of being in communion with God. And now we need to connect that back to the main idea of the passage, which is this divine examination. We need to be searched in our hearts to show us our sin, because that way everlasting, always, beloved, is a way of holiness. A life in conformity to the will and the Word of God. If we're going to be on the way that is the straight and the narrow way, and there's a reason it's narrow, as the Word of God teaches us. The reason it's narrow is that it's a way of holiness. The broad way, as the Bible teaches us, is the way of the world. Walk however you want, wherever you want. Take your pick, doesn't matter where. Huge. This way is narrow. This is the way of holiness. This is the way of looking at the law of God and striving every day to walk in that law. And David knew that. And so David says in the text, "Search me, try me, see if there is any wicked way in me, because I don't want, unbeknownst to me, to be on a way that in reality is the broad way that leads to death." He needs to know, and so he needs to examine himself, and he needs God to examine himself. And so do we, so that we, through this examination, can be assured that we are walking in the way of holiness, which is the way of life. It's not the way of perfection. And that's the second point here, because the way of life everlasting is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. The way of everlasting is walking in the way of Jesus Christ. And walking in the way of Jesus Christ is exactly what we are called to do in this week of self-examination, which isn't a four-week of the year deal for us, but an every-week deal for us. Because it's very simply living the life of knowing our sin and bringing that sin day by day to the cross of Jesus Christ. David asks this knowing in faith that sin is going to be shown to him, so that in the way of sin being shown to him, he can all the more flee to the cross of Christ and know that in that cross and blood of Jesus Christ there is forgiveness. There is hope. There is life. There is a path that runs through the cross into life everlasting. And so we ask this so that we are led to see our salvation more and more in Jesus Christ. See how different that is from what Romans 5 says is, the antinomian heresy. Shall we sin that grace may abound? It's not that idea, that we sin intentionally more and more so that we can experience the grace of God more and more. That's not it. It's this. I know it's in me. I know it's there. And I want to root it out. And I know that in Jesus there is forgiveness. Make this prayer, beloved, in this week. Examine yourself in the way of asking God to do what David says in this passage. Study your Word thoroughly in this week. Meditate upon the Word thoroughly. Pray this intensely. Pray it privately. Apply it to your families too. But pray it. Pray it hard. God, help me see. Search my heart, so that I am led more and more on the way of holiness, and I am led all the stronger to my Savior Jesus Christ, so that we can be confident next week, confident that I'm right with the Lord, confident that though there is sin in my life, it is for every one of us, it's not hardened, it's not impenitent sin, it's sin against which we are fighting day by day. Which means, through that fight, that we are walking the life of a believer, trusting day by day in Jesus Christ. Examine yourself in the way of asking God to examine your heart. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word as it was brought tonight, and be with us in this week, so that we are led to examine our hearts, and we are led to privately pray this prayer, that Thou wilt search our hearts and try our thoughts and to see if there is any wicked way in us. And use that to lead us all the more in the way everlasting, which is the way of faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that in Him all of our sins are wiped away clean. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.